Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go. It's Hour 2. We're live in Los Angeles. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening. Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, FS1. Joy Taylor's joining me. Joy and I are Capricorns, so we have a lot in common. We kind of joke from time to time about some of the things that we have no patience for and things we like. And I'm one of these people, I think you and I discussed this once. I'm not going to babysit you as an adult.
No.
Like, I'm an adult. The vaccine news coming out in America, it works better than they thought. Like, Pfizer is saying it's actually better than we thought. Over 95% of the people using the vaccine, it's effective. If you're not willing to take it because of a conspiracy theory, that is a you problem. I can't babysit you as a 44-year-old man who's on some, you know, Alex Jones goofy website. Like, it works. Take it. It will make everybody better. But if you want to go as an adult and, like, make up a conspiracy theory and a political, then you do that. But we're grown-ups here. We've done well for ourselves. We're not going to babysit you.
Well, I mean, people take medication all the time. The advertisement is, like, 15% of the advertisement is, like, riding a bicycle and, like, it clears up your skin or something.
Right.
And then the rest of the advertisement is telling you all the terrible things it could possibly do to you.
Yeah.
But we're in the middle of a pandemic and you don't want to take a vaccine. I don't know. I just like for things to make sense, you know, before I can have a conversation with someone. And it's like, this is
like
really difficult.
There are just certain people I'm not going to talk to. If a vaccine comes out and you've made up some hocus pocus theory on it, then you go hang out with your loony friends on the interweb. I'm not interested.
I mean, you've been around billionaires before.
Not, once or twice.
Yeah. I mean, but you've been in rooms where very important decisions are made.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. Like those decisions and how they came to be never make their way to YouTube.
Yeah.
I mean, if there's a conspiracy, the answer is not on YouTube. Like, I assure you, it's not.
You and I know that. Half the country knows it, but apparently half the country won't take the vaccine.
I don't know. There's a lot going on.
By the way, I saw this as interesting. So Michael Jordan obviously is part owner of Charlotte now. I'm not sure. What percentage does he own? Does he own all of it? Or I don't even know. So they got a top draft pick.
Yes.
So this is funny to me. So he's given his stamp of approval for the Hornets to select LaMelo Ball. And this is what's interesting. So when I think of Michael Jordan, there's three or four qualities to Michael. He was an alpha. He was competitive. He was totally focused. He was physical. How come he always drafts players that are the opposite of that? Michael's got a new. LaMelo Ball is distracted. Has reportedly, according to all the scouts I'm reading this morning, an average work ethic and hates physical play. Like, will not body anybody. That is the opposite of Michael Jordan. He also drafted Adam Morrison from Gonzaga, who had no alpha, was a loner, was allergic to rebounding, and, like, would never command a room. That's the opposite of Michael. Then he drafted Kwame Brown, who didn't really love basketball, wouldn't play hurt, and was soft. Michael, stop. Start drafting you. Like, I see the kid, the kid out of Georgia, like, doesn't even love basketball. He's more of a football guy. That is not somebody you would draft, because what made Michael great, what made Kobe great, what makes KD great, what makes Harden great, they love basketball. James Harden plays hurt all the time. He loves basketball. If you don't love basketball, and I'm Michael Jordan, I'm not drafting you. I mean, I am not drafting you. And if you're not physical, Michael was a very physical player. He'd just go to the rim. He'd get, you know, Dwayne Wade and Michael Jordan spent half their early careers on the floor, just getting knocked all over the place and tackled. So I don't know who they're going to pick, but LaMelo Ball does not feel like a Michael Jordan player. Michael has no interest in your social media binder. I don't even think Michael's on. Is Michael on Twitter?
No. Well, yeah, he might have a Twitter page, but I think he just runs everything through.
Yeah.
Corporate. Like puts out statements more so than like
yeah,
tweets.
That's what he does. Yeah. He's the last guy using a PR firm. Okay. let's bring in the voice of college football. I like to bring him on from time to time. I bring on many of the most important people in college football, Joel Klatt. Yesterday, by the way, what's Brian up? Kelly came on my show. You'll find oftentimes the best coaches come on. They want to
ham it up with you.
They want to hear my thoughts on the sport and my collective wisdom. But, you know, So, but I did ask Brian.
Did Brian Kelly want to hear about how you can't win at Notre Dame? It's cold. It's in the middle of the country. Nobody wants to live there. You got to go to the coasts.
I did say this, though. Offensive linemen go there and get paid in the NFL. It's
become
an
offense.
And the other thing is, I asked him if it's their. I asked him if it was the best team he ever had, and I don't think it's the best quarterback, but he did say it was the best team they had. And I've got to tell you something: winning 10 and 11 games at Notre Dame, and he's doing it every year now. He's again. I'd put him coach of the year. I think he is the best coach they've had since Lou Holtz, and I don't even think it's close.
Yeah, that's.
I think he's a great coach.
I think he's also a great coach. He's built a really good program, and this year I would agree with him. I think this is his best team since he's been at Notre Dame, and I think it is that way not because of the flashiness of the program. It's actually the exact opposite. It's what they are at the line of scrimmage. Is finally now equal to or a team that can go out there and play with the big boy, Clemson, and beat them up, right? So I went back because, listen, you can get sucked into, like, meta numbers, if you will, or, like, macro numbers, and, like, this is what they were this year and that year. And so people say, like, boy, they were great defensively in 2012 when they went to the national championship and got blown out by Alabama. But when you look at when they actually faced somebody that year, Alabama, they gave up over 260 yards rushing.
Right.
Okay, got blown out at the line of scrimmage. In fact, only ran the ball for a little over 30 yards in that national championship game. So the line of scrimmage was the biggest mismatch on the field, right? And Alabama just steamrolled them. Then you go to the playoff game 2 years ago against Clemson. Yeah. Virtually the same thing happened. Notre Dame did not run the ball for 100 yards and gave up well over 200 yards of rushing. They got steamrolled at the line of scrimmage, and a lot of that was style of game, and they were down and had to throw the football, and I understand that. But now you go to this year. Guess what happened when Clemson rolls into the town? It was the exact opposite. Clemson runs the ball for only about 30 yards, and Notre Dame's the one rushing the football for over 200 yards.
You know, a lot of times, Joel, when you watch a game, it's not even the score. You can tell.
You can feel it.
You can watch Notre Dame. I watched them twice against Georgia, and I watched them against Clemson. Well, they can go. They got NFL guys.
Yeah.
My NFL guys, my O-line, are as good as your NFL. Notre Dame passes the physical eye test.
Yes.
Big, even the receivers. Big, fast, physical. Notre Dame now has the most talent they have had in 20 years.
And they're long. I just like their whole mindset. I think that they have a really, really good coaching staff. And listen, the game plan against Clemson was marvelous. You can say all you want about, like, well, Uiagalelei threw the ball for 400 yards. Yeah, that was the point. The point was Travis Etienne, the proven commodity, was not going to beat Notre Dame. And guess what he did? Nothing. In that game. He virtually did nothing in that game. And so they put it on the shoulders of the true freshman. Clemson sitting there with three defensive players out of the front seven. They beat him up with the run game. It was a great game plan, and they won the game accordingly.
So, you know, listen, a couple years ago, that was last year, nothing, and I got nothing against Ohio at all. Don't think they have the best weather in the country, but whatever. Respect the Buckeyes greatly. But last year it was like, oh, that's the best Big Ten team ever. I bet a small fortune on Clemson, and today have benefited greatly from it.
Well, you were very lucky that Dobbins hurt his ankle and the SEC officials threw Sean Wade out of the
lucky,
game.
Lucky, lucky, lucky.
You were.
Okay.
You were. The breaks in that game were incredible.
Oh, God.
The Buckeyes last year were a phenomenal football team. Yeah. We were robbed, college football fans, of seeing Ohio State play LSU. That was the real championship game. All due respect to Clemson.
Oh,
you guys got very lucky in that game.
Yeah, okay.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah,
Dabo, you know it's true. Look yourself in the mirror, and you understand what Colin will not face, which is that Clemson was incredibly lucky in that game.
Yeah, it's funny. They always seem to be really lucky against the Buckeyes. Anywho, so I'm hearing it again. Oh, this Ohio State team. Oh, and I'm like,
you actually will not hear that from me.
I look at them. I watch them. I'm like, they're really good. They're Ohio State. They are. I don't think they're Notre Dame, and I know they're not Alabama.
Remains to be seen about, you know, comparing them to the other teams. Let's just compare them to last year's Ohio State team.
They're not nearly as good.
They are not as good as last year's Ohio State team. They are better at quarterback and wide receiver.
Yes.
And offensive line is excellent. Justin Fields, his maturation through the last couple of years has been outstanding.
He's terrific.
He's a great player, right? And he'll get selected accordingly, maybe, you know, probably second in the draft this spring. He's phenomenal.
They are not beating Alabama.
Maybe not. I mean, we'll see when that, you know, who knows what the health of the teams look like at that point. I will tell you this, though. J.K. Dobbins is a huge loss for them. He was a 2,000-yard rusher, and he was a home run hitter at running back. So they're having to try to create things from a run game perspective. They're almost averaging a yard less per carry this year than they were last year. Okay, so that's a big deal. And then defensively, I'm sorry, they've got great players on defense this year. Really, I mean, excellent players. They'll get selected in the draft. You do not play as potent of defense 1 year as opposed to the other when you have three top 16 picks selected off that defense, two of them in the top five. They're just not anywhere close. In fact, they're averaging almost a yard and a half per play worse this year than last year.
Yeah.
So when you look at those metrics, Ohio State's not quite as dominant as they were a year ago. And listen, they were a dominant team. They were excellent last year. But this year, they're going to have to piece it together, and there's going to be more pressure on Fields to be superhuman at times.
And he can be.
And he certainly can.
He's their best quarterback by a mile in Ohio State history. He's
probably,
great.
Probably.
He's great.
I think that he's excellent. But I will tell you that they are in for a fist fight this week against Indiana. People might be like, what do you mean, Indiana? They're in for a fist fight against Indiana. Indiana has
got NFL players.
It's gotten better and better and better. Their quarterback is excellent. Their defense is salty. They can run. They tackle well in space. If they take away the run game, which likely they're going to have a great chance to do because they're not as good, Ohio State, at running back, then Fields is going to be a little bit in the pressure cooker this weekend.
Yeah,
we are.
It's actually a really good game. Indiana, if you watch Indiana, they got like NFL talent. They got like real receivers and backs and real players.
And the defense has been absolutely excellent. Their quarterback, Michael Penix, by the way, is playing outstanding. Last week I did this whole breakdown of how he played on third down against Michigan State. Michigan State threw the kitchen sink at him on third down. Different coverages, different blitzes. Boom. He just on time, on target with the ball, knew what he was doing. Really smart player. I can't wait to see him play against Ohio State.
All right, let me look at your top 10 right here.
What is this, like some sort of evaluation?
So Alabama's
won. Wow, look at that look. Look
right,
at
Ohio
that
State,
look.
Notre Dame. I like that you have Notre Dame. You've always been very negative toward them. I like
that's
to see.
False. That's
Clemson
false.
Four.
Collins A&M's, lying to you. Fact check false.
Wisconsin.
I've defended
Notre
Dame.
Indiana's not eight, but whatever. Cincinnati.
What? Oh, okay.
Okay, BYU 10. BYU's got a great quarterback. Okay, so let's get to this. I noticed something this week doing a lot. I do a lot of homework for this show.
Okay.
I'm very committed to excellence. And so I went to one of those recruiting boards. And I want you to explain this to me. I went to Texas.
Yes.
And
I believe they're the sixth best roster in the country right now.
Okay. Whatevs. I went and looked at their recruiting. Joel, they're getting smoked in Texas. What the hell's going on? The Oklahoma, A&M. I could not believe how few elite Texas players the Longhorns had. God, if I grew up in Texas, that'd be the first place I'd want to go.
It's a problem.
What is going on?
It's a problem because this certainly wasn't the case, when Mack was winning a lot of games. They would just open up the back door and every top recruit in Texas would go to Texas. They've still gotten good recruiting classes, but they have lost that luster in the state. And to be honest with you, it's not just Oklahoma and Texas A&M. LSU has been getting in there. Alabama has been getting in there. Ohio State has been getting in there.
What is it?
I don't know.
Herman's
Tom Herman, by the way, came out this week and he said, it's hurting us in recruiting that there are rumors about Urban Meyer at Texas. And I'm like, hold on. Like, one, you don't address that, right? Like, I know Tom, if you're listening to this, don't address that, right? Just go out there and win games, keep your job, and then you'll be fine. But I don't quite understand.
Something's
I know that Texas A&M has really hit the recruiting trail hard.
And Jimbo Fisher's a great recruiter.
And Lincoln Riley is an excellent recruiter.
Here's Here's all I know. And this is the knock with USC and Clay Helton. When you're Texas in Texas or USC in California, you have to get the best back, two best receivers, best quarterback. It's understood. The history,
but
the
neither
heritage.
Of them are doing
That's
that.
That's what I'm saying. So
last year in California alone, USC only got one of the top 25 players in the state.
That's what I'm saying. I went and looked at the Texas recruiting. I'm like, whoa, this is a USC thing in Texas.
Yeah.
And by the way, it's nothing against Tom Herman, but that's not acceptable.
That's the first way to start losing your administration, because the administration will look at that and be like, hold on, like, listen, we know that the lifeblood of every program is recruiting, in particular when you're at a place that is supposed to be a blue chip, get a top five class based on its vicinity, its geographic location.
Okay, here's another thing, is when you have a good resume, I'll give you an off year. It's COVID. Franklin's losing PJ Fleck. I'm like, I'm not going to define you based on a year in which we can't go to restaurants. Like, you can't do anything. Harbaugh's coached 12 full years in college, 4 in the NFL, and he's got 2 losing seasons and a 500 season. And the losing seasons were at Stanford when he took over for a mess.
Yep.
Am I supposed to believe in a year that James Franklin and PJ Fleck have unraveled? Am I supposed to think now he can't coach? Like, well, are we overdoing?
Listen, I understand where you're going with this, but remember now, the optics have a lot to do with this as well, right? It's not like, oh my gosh, they lost 2 nail biters, right? Like, that's not the case. And it really, when you struggle at what you're supposed to be strong at,
yeah, that hurts.
That hurts a lot. And when you can't run the football, you can't develop a quarterback, and now all of a sudden the defense is falling apart and they can't stop the passing game. You know, I think that was their biggest deficit at home at halftime since the Big House was built. So when you're doing things that not even Rich Rod was doing in terms of futility,
but it's
that's opening some eyeballs.
But it's a COVID year.
Yeah, I understand, but again, can COVID make up for that entire gap? Like, it does not look good right now. Apparently they've opened up their quarterback position again. I can't defend this season. This has been a massive disappointment set up by the massive disappointment of Minnesota. Minnesota has been a massive disappointment, and they set everybody up for failure, including me. I thought that Minnesota was really good.
Well,
I was like, oh, Michigan is back.
No,
they're good.
I'm giving a lot of people a pass for COVID. I just am. I'm giving companies.
This one just feels different, though, because, again, like, they're not losing nail biters. You have to admit that, right? Like, and they're not doing things that Jim Harbaugh teams should be able to do.
That's a fair criticism. I guess I am glass half full guy.
Oh, is that case? You weren't with Drew Locke. You don't like him dancing.
Speaking of Drew Locke.
In honor of Drew Locke, I just threw down some dance moves for
footage
you.
Footage of disturbing. Joel Klatt last weekend in the booth.
I will not answer to Colin's judgment of dancing. This will be Time joy out. Only in her analysis, please.
What is going on here?
Okay, Joel.
Yes.
I am so uncomfortable. You look like if Aquaman had something stuck in his suit. There's something going on here.
No. I mean, why can't he
And you know, then Gus there Johnson is just egging you on, so he's just enabling you.
Oh, yeah, Gus is loving it. I love Gus's hoodie, by the way.
This is amazing. Guys, who has more fun than Gus and I?
Nobody.
Nobody. Nobody. That... Oh, come on. Look at that. That's a good
move.
Yeah,
you got to
right
tell
there.
Gus I said and the right, by the
Gus
way.
Is just encouraging your bad behavior there.
That's not bad behavior. No. That's not bad behavior.
Joel,
that's
called a dancer.
Thank you very much, Joy. I appreciate
you know,
that.
You know what's funny? I had a friend once say to me, I was a way better dancer than he thought I would be.
I totally disagree. No one listening right now believes that you are a decent dancer.
Well, Drew Locke let us all down.
Oh,
all he had to do was beat Atlanta, and we would have seen Colin
done
dance
with
on air.
Done?
Done with
You have to win games in order to dance?
Why don't you win a couple, Cub Scout, before you become, thriller?
So can I dance?
You've had a lot of success in your life. You get that dance. I don't love it. I don't love it. I discourage it. But
you discourage it.
You're a preferred walk-on who set Colorado quarterback records. Earned the right to a dance.
I might dance on this table
right
now.
Yeah, slow down there, Chief. All right, Joel Klatt, good stuff. Rick Bucher, too.
Watch out, Tennessee. Tennessee this week.
Tennessee what?
Just watch out for Tennessee. They're catching 11.
I don't trust them ever.
I don't trust the Vols.
They're totally
either.
Dysfunctional.
Nor their fan base.
Yeah, they're dysfunctional.
Yeah, you know what you're talking about, Vol Twitter. Always coming after me. How do you like me now? This year. How do you like me now?
All right.
You.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
2 of the most exciting quarterbacks in the league square off when Kyler Murray and the Cardinals take on Russell Wilson and the Seahawks. Thursday Night Football this week at 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific on Fox NFL Network and streaming on Prime Video.
Well, Seattle outplayed them 2 weeks ago, and then a personal foul call screwed it up for Seattle. So and I think Seattle's playing with incredible urgency. Arizona's a hard team to figure. Outplayed by Buffalo and 1, outplayed by Seattle and 1. And I thought Miami controlled the game again. So I've watched them 3 games in a row really be outplayed, but they've won 2 of them. Hail Marys don't mean you're better than Buffalo. So I don't I like Seattle in that game. I do. I think Seattle.
Well, it is. They are at home on a short week.
And what's the weather like in Seattle? I'm sure it's just charming. Mm-hmm. So you're going to take an Arizona team. They're going to be. It's raining sideways at this point in the season. Like that weather changes stuff.
It's by the way 46 degrees and raining.
All right. Like Ohio last week, the Browns game, like bet the under. It's 38 mile an hour winds. They were canceling flights in Cleveland. So it's like take the under. So like right now in the NFL, there's like two games every weekend. Like if Seattle's windy, and then it's, you know. All right, Joey with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Sponsored by Mercedes-Benz. The best or nothing.
Well, Russell Wilson was cooking to start the season, which made him a quick MVP favorite, but after struggling the last couple weeks with a sharp uptick in turnovers, he's fallen from the top spot. According to Fox Bet, Patrick Mahomes is now the favorite for MVP at plus 180. Wilson is second at plus 230. Aaron Rodgers, third, plus 300. Kyler Murray has the fourth best odds on Fox Bet at plus 650. And Tom Brady, plus 2200.
So if it's most valuable, Kansas City could win games without Mahomes. Could Arizona win games without Kyler Murray? Could Green Bay win games without Aaron Rodgers? Could Seattle win games without Russell Wilson? The answer is no. Kansas City is good enough. You could put in you could win a bunch of games in Kansas City. Kirk Cousins would win a bunch. They wouldn't win the Super Bowl. Kansas City is totally well balanced. Defense, running game, offense. It's not that Mahomes isn't great, but I go always back to this. What is valuable? Green Bay's not winning a football game without Aaron Rodgers. They're not good enough defensively.
I will say the NFL MVP is not quite as narrative based as the NBA MVP, right? Like pretty much halfway through the season, you know, without, you know, injury, who's going to win the NBA MVP. Like there's the trend starts and then the writers start building their cases for whoever they like for MVP, whether it's reasonable or not. NFL is a little bit different. I'm with you. I obviously, we know how amazing Patrick Mahomes is, and he is having another incredible season. But yeah, I mean, the Seahawks are doing nothing without Russell Wilson, and that's part of the reason why he has so many turnovers.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen Green Bay without Aaron Rodgers. They're like a three-win team. Like we've seen Kyler Murray. Arizona, if you look at statistically, you take Kyler Murray out of Arizona, they're not a very good football team.
So looking at that list, knowing pretty much how all of these teams
Kyler
are trending,
would get my vote today. I would say Russell Wilson until last week. I think it's really, really close. But I'd go Kyler 1.
Russell doesn't have the same level of turnovers for the rest of the season.
Then I would go with Russell 1, Kyler 2. I mean, when I watch Arizona play, they get outplayed every weekend. They've won two of the last 3 weeks, and they were clearly the inferior team. They're not winning those games without Kyler Murray.
It's going to be a good game on
Thursday.
I mean,
go look at the Hail Mary play. Yeah. Russell Wilson's the only quarterback in the league probably that can get the throw off. I mean, he was trapped.
That's such a great play. That's a play of the year.
Oh, absolutely.
So LaMelo Ball is one of the top prospects in the NBA draft, which is tonight, which is still kind of strange to me. It just feels weird. Like, the NBA draft's tonight. It's just snuck up on us, and it's just, I don't know, it's a lot. He could potentially be the first overall pick, and he said he is confident that he would be able to handle it.
I don't look at anything like that as pressure. Like I said, it's just basketball. So being the number one pick, I mean, definitely holds a lot. But I feel like I was born for it. I feel like I'm born for this whole thing going on. Since, you know, you only go through this process once. So I'm really just enjoying all of it.
By the way, it's not that he can't play. He's got great handles. He's tall. He's like his brother. He's a good rebounder. He's not a physical player. He doesn't, you know, my guys are all like, he avoids contact.
If he's going to be successful in the league, he's going to have to embrace playing defense.
His shot's not good enough to be solely a perimeter player. He's got to finish at the rim with his size against guards occasionally.
I think he has all of the intangibles to be a star player in that he's going to get the fans excited.
Yes.
If, you know, when we get back into arenas, he's somebody that could sell tickets. You'd want to go watch him play. He is very raw. So that's why I think his success really depends on what organization he goes to.
Well, I mean, aren't all the players raw? I mean, if college football players came out after their freshman year, they would all be raw.
Yeah, but some are more refined than others. Some of their games are more mature than others. Like, he doesn't like contact. Well, the NBA, you're you're playing against very physical players. I know that it's not the same game as it was 20 years ago, but any one of us goes down, bangs around the NBA for a little bit, you're not going to make it very long.
Well, I mean, if you watch the Heat-Laker final, the Lakers were pushing Miami all over the floor.
No, it's still a very physical game. Still not wearing pads. Like, it's still the NBA. For all the talk, it's not the NBA of 20 years ago, but you still have to be a physical player. So the Minnesota Timberwolves have the number one overall pick. Golden State Warriors are number two. Charlotte Hornets, Chicago Bulls, and the Cleveland Cavaliers round up the top five. Then the Hawks, Pistons, Knicks, Wizards, and the Suns.
I could make an argument that MJ takes LaMelo, even though I don't think they fit, just because he's interesting.
Yeah.
And that franchise is, frankly, not very interesting.
I could see LaMelo going to the Hornets. I could also see him going to the Bulls. And you might see a trade, too, with the Warriors. It's possible. So Rajon Rondo declined his player option with the Lakers and is exploring his options in free agency. The Atlanta Hawks are reportedly set to offer him a two-year, $15 million contract. But he is said to be focusing on joining the Clippers instead. Now, obviously, they just brought in Schroeder. So he's not going to be staying with the Lakers. But this is kind of interesting that he's so interested in going to the Clippers. Obviously, that might just be he wants to stay in L.A., but I actually really like Rondo to the Clippers.
Yeah, because if Schroeder is with the Lakers, who are you going to put on him? Because Avery Bradley is a really good defender. Lou's not as good a defender. So in the end, the bottom line is the Lakers now have a backcourt that can score points with Schroeder. Who are you going to put on him? So your wings are really good. I don't have a problem with him. I don't have a problem with him leaving the Lakers for the Clippers. He's at the end of a career. Take the most money.
No, like that part. There's just no take the loyalty most money. In that part. Like he should, and he should go where he wants to go. Like he's made a lot of money in his career. If he doesn't want to go to the Hawks and not be competitive, if he's going to the Clippers, obviously he's still in contention for a championship. But I also think that Rondo is a specific type of leader, and he's a specific type of playoff player. Yeah. We know what playoff Rondo is, and that's something that I think the Clippers could really use.
Good stuff. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
By the way, Tom Brady won the AFC East year after year, and obviously he was very good, but much of it was the Dolphins and the Bills and the Jets' dysfunction. He got a lot of breaks there. He got a massive break last weekend when Drew Brees got hurt, and it looks like now the one team that Tampa does not match up against, they've been routed twice, once embarrassingly so, the Saints. The Saints are going to have a backup quarterback who's new to the team without a preseason, Jameis Winston. So it's a huge break for Tom Brady and the Bucs, who a week ago after that Saints loss, you thought to yourself, they're going to be on the road for three straight road playoff games. No way they're winning those. Brady was talking to Jim Gray about Thanksgiving football and where he thinks the Bucs are now.
I've learned that football season always starts after Thanksgiving, and we're not quite there yet. We got one more game to go, and then we'll really see where we stand. And this is when the teams really start to rise to the occasion. This is where you see the commitment, the discipline, the hard work. This is where you really see how things pay off.
Well, it's interesting. It's funny. The more I see of the AFC, the more I like it. I like Miami. I like Buffalo. I think Tennessee will come back. Pittsburgh's obviously been remarkable. Kansas City, Baltimore, when they get healthy, will be better. The more of the AFC I watch, the more I like it. The more of the NFC I watch, the less I like it. Look at the standings today. So, I mean, Green Bay, Tampa Bay matches up with them very well. The Saints have a backup quarterback. Arizona's winning games they're outplayed by. And the Eagles are a bad division-leading team. The wild card outside of the Bucs, the Rams. Well, Tampa Bay plays on Monday. Rams don't have their left tackle. I like Tampa. And the Seahawks have the worst defense in the league. And in the hunt, you have a Bears team that's a mess at quarterback and a Lions team that can't hold a lead. I actually think Minnesota is going to make the playoffs and be a real tough out. But when you start really deep diving, the only team that Tampa doesn't match up well against is New Orleans. And I'll tell you, I think they match up well with everybody. Minnesota, I think, could be the second toughest matchup for them. I really do. So it's amazing how life changes in the NFL. Once Drew Brees got hurt, it's like, okay, that's the key is you win the division now. In 3 weeks, Tampa could lead this division by two games if Jameis doesn't work. And then Super Bowl in Tampa, you could get the number one seed. You really could if you look at Green Bay's remaining games and you beat them head-to-head. So The more I look at the NFC, don't sell Brady. Like, there's not a lot out there. They're going to play the Rams, who just dismantled the Seahawks, and I don't think the Rams match up terribly well against Tampa, especially with Andrew Whitworth out. I think Tampa's going to have their way getting after Jared Goff.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
It's been covering the NBA since the early 90s. Fox Sports NBA analyst Rick Bucher. A lot of stuff going on now. Joining us live in the Bay Area. All right, Harden, Westbrook, Houston both want out. Brooklyn, KD, Kyrie want Harden. Let's just talk about Houston. What do you do?
Yeah.
Both your stars want out. I own the team, let's say. What do you do in Houston?
Accept the gift that has been given you and blow it up. They had proved that they were not good enough to win a championship. They needed to reset. Daryl Morey leaves and the cupboard is bare in terms of assets and trying to improve. And now you don't even have to carry the burden of saying that we're going to get rid of our stars and we're going to start over. Keep in mind, Houston is not like Cleveland or some of the other markets where you would be concerned about tearing it down and starting over. Free agents will come to Houston. And so get the assets. And now you don't even have the burden of the superstars complaining that you moved on from them. They've asked to move on, and they've even asked to move over to the Eastern Conference. You couldn't get it any better than this.
Yeah, that's actually a good point. Like, start over, get as many assets and picks as you can. So the NBA draft is tonight. It's interesting. I was saying earlier, Michael Jordan likes LaMelo Ball, who's the opposite of Michael Jordan. He's distracted. He's into social media.
Yes.
He's not a physical player. I mean, he doesn't have that kind of Michael alpha attack. He's kind of the opposite of that. Why would he be interested in LaMelo Ball?
So there are two things working here. Number one, and I've been trying to figure this out, because Michael Jordan, as we know, and as we were reminded by The Last Dance, it's all about winning and it's all about competition. So how could Michael Jordan preside over a Charlotte Hornets team that has been none of those things for the most part since he has owned them? And I was told it's because Michael is competing in a different arena now. For Michael, it is all about how can I become the most powerful and wealthiest NBA owner? And while he came in not anywhere close to that, he certainly made strides. But if you look at everything that he's done with the Charlotte Hornets, and you look at it through the prism of how do I maximize this monetarily, it all makes sense. And LaMelo Ball, of all of the players in this draft, is the one guy that you could look at and say, you know what? He's going to attract attention. He's going to attract corporate sponsors. He's going to sell tickets. So it fits perfectly with the Michael Jordan current model. I would say the other part is that Michael has learned, you know what? I need to get the guy who has the talent, and I can infuse the attitude. I can teach them how to be. There are no other Michael Jordans. There's Michael Jordan, the owner, doesn't believe there's going to be another Michael Jordan, the player. But I can infuse him with some of what I have. So let me go and get the best talent and the guy who sells the most tickets, and then I'll add the rest.
A lot of times in the NBA, star-driven league, trades get talked about as being impactful, and I kind of roll my eyes at them. And then there's occasionally the trade that nobody talks about. It doesn't get a lot of play, and I can't believe how good it is. Dennis Schroeder to the Lakers, I saw it and thought, that's all they gave up?
Yes.
I thought to myself, if they won last year, they get Avery Bradley and Schroeder. This is a much bigger deal than is being given press, right?
100%. This is look, they're my prohibitive favorite to repeat. Largely based on this trade, you've added not just another quality player, but a guy who is what we call a dog in the NBA. Dennis Schroeder is fearless, and he is a fierce competitor. And while he's listed as a point guard, he plays much bigger than that. So you've just added that to the equation of LeBron James, the other pieces that they have, the growth that they've gotten from winning a championship. Number one being on that list, Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis now understands what it's like to play in big games and to win big games. You add Dennis Schroeder to that equation. It was a home run. And they gave up virtually nothing. I'm actually surprised that the Thunder accepted it, because I would think that Schroeder would have had more market value than this.
So the NBA draft is tonight. It's a lot of it's just you guess because you're drafting kids. I mean, they got 1 year of college or no college. So a lot of it is for years and years. David Stern, the late David Stern, didn't want his general managers going to high school games and scouts, right? So he said, you got to go to college for at least a year. Well, it's like, especially this year. I mean, like, who is anybody? I have no idea. What do you make at tonight's draft?
There are no franchise players. There are no sure things, which is why all of the top picks are readily available. All the GMs in the league right now, and especially the ones up top with the top picks, are a little bit like the guy who goes to the carnival. And you go to that booth where you gotta hit a target. And the guy running the booth says, I'll give you one shot and you can get that really big prize over there. Or I'll give you three shots and you can get one of these smaller prizes over here. The GMs are all looking at it going, I'll take the three shots at the smaller prize because all I want to do right now is walk away with a prize for my girlfriend, i.e. my owner. And the chances that I'm going to land a really big prize with one shot is not very good. Look, there's going to be a Devin Booker or a Damian Lillard in this draft. There's going to be a guy who isn't necessarily an all-star right away, but eventually becomes an all-star and a guy that you look at and go, you know what? He's a franchise cornerstone. I can build around him. But nobody knows who that is right now. So the GMs have a very – there's going to be a lot of GMs that end up looking very bad, and they'd rather move down and take multiple picks where the heat is not on as opposed to having one of the top picks. And then you have a Booker or a Lillard that goes six or seven, and – the owners and everybody in the media looks at the GMs that didn't pick that guy and go, what were you thinking?
Yeah. By the way, I've always thought Kevin Durant's a better leader than people give him credit for. If I was Kevin Durant, I'd say, get me James Harden. I'll trade everybody. We don't need a big. I don't need Kyrie. Does KD have it in him? Because, by the way, that's really the key here. LeBron would move people in a second. LeBron has. Yeah. That's why LeBron's LeBron. Does KD have it in him? A minute left to say to the owner, listen, just get Harden. I couldn't give a rip about anything else. Just get Harden. Let's do a reboot before we've even played.
I feel like he does. So, I mean, ultimately, I feel there's plenty of people, and I'm not one of them, that consider KD, have called KD a snake. If he were to do this, he would be the King Cobra. Because basically, he and Kyrie talked for months about joining forces in Brooklyn. And to turn around and then throw Kyrie into the equation in order to get his old running buddy, James Harden, it would be one of those deals where KD would have to call up Kyrie and go, look, it's not personal. It's just business. Do I think he has it in him? Honestly, I think he just might.
Yeah, so do I. And I know it sounds.
And I wouldn't blame him.
Oh, God, no. If I can have James Harden, absolutely. Harden and KD, Eastern Conference Finals, you can figure out the rest. It's like LeBron and AD. Figure out the rest. Just give me those two and figure it out.
Certainly better than Kyrie, KD, and James. This is not Harden, Westbrook, KD, circa OKC 2.0. They're a completely different place. But that said, yes, I would much rather go Harden, KD, than go KD, Kyrie.
Good stuff. Rick Bucher, Fox Sports. Good seeing you, buddy.
Same.
Start your morning with a scoop. Delicious chocolate mousse. M-Drive Start. Proteins, nutrients, digestive enzymes, lean muscle. M-Drive Start. Check it out. One scoop every morning. Yeah, I know it sounds just harsh, but it pro sports is harsh. You got to move off people all the time. I mean, GMs move off people. You know, James Harden has 2 years left in a contract. He's like, I want to move out of here. Like this league is about, and it's getting more and more like this, and it's not necessarily bad. It's just, you know, stars want to play together, and they want to play together now, and they see, you know, they make a lot of money in shoes, so they don't necessarily care about their making every penny in their contracts. That's what the league is. Like, I'm not good or bad. Like, I have 30 years in my career. I look at it as a long journey. But if I'm a professional athlete, I'm KD. I've had multiple injuries. I want the best player. I want him now. I will just tell you this. If he does it, if he calls Kyrie and says, I'm out, nothing personal, I'll take Harden, I'll defend KD. I will. King Cobra. I like that, my Bucher. We're on the road during the holidays so much. Make sure your car's protected. CarShield.com. CarShield.com. Put in the code HERD. Customizable plan. Save you money.